Yeah, I don't need that. Glad to see each of you here this morning to worship and praise God, and a special time as we have this baby dedication. We call it baby dedication, but I call it, it's more, as Scott was saying, it's parent dedication. Parent dedication, because we know those children at this point aren't understanding anything that's going on around them, other than that they're being dedicated to the Lord in that way. So, yes, praise God for that time. We appreciate that. And especially as we come away with this week of the sanctity of human life, realizing what God wants from life and from us. But today we're going to be following through on Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. And for those of you who are regular attenders here, should have read that chapter this week. I know I did, more than one time. But you know we've been going through Colossians for this time, and of course we only have one more message on that. Colossians 4 coming up. So, Colossians 3, Christian Living Solutions. Christian Living Solutions. We look at the three areas here this morning. Looking at verses 1 through 11, 12 to 17, and then 18 to 25, there's some words that pop up here in this chapter. Put off, put on, set your mind, set your heart. If, you get the point there, if is a very little word with a very big meaning. Appear, mortify, disobedience, old man, new man. Above all things, let the word dwell where? In your heart. Of course, most of us know these first three verses of Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Think about that. At this time, we're going to have read for us those verses, and there's people have them, and I think they have microphones, so go ahead and read 3, 1 to 11, please.
Above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Thank you. And the next verses, please. 12 through 17.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dear in love,
Amen.
4. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, Chuck. And now 18 through 25, please.
Through 25. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and of reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism.
Thank you. Thank you, readers. Okay, I don't know if anybody has their sack lunch along, but we may have a long time together today, but I don't think we have sack lunches, so we'll have to make sure that you get out for lunchtime. What are we looking at? If you set your hearts on things above, refers to other verses in Colossians here, 2:12 and 13. 2:12 and 13. Did I get that verse out? Yes. Thank you, reader.
Colossians 2:12 and 13. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Thank you. As you see, these verses are background here for Paul's introduction here to the regenerative work of God's Spirit working in and through us. We need to make conscious decisions about the way we think, because we need to set our hearts, we need to set our minds. Why is it saying about the mind? Where does most things start? They start where? In our mind, right? They start in our mind, and then they move on in our hearts, and they work through, and sometimes things come out in actions. So we need to set our hearts and our minds and our affections to give care and consideration to something, or to set on, to be intent. Are we intent? Do we set? Because we need to do that if we're going to be carrying on in what the Lord has for us. In Mark 8:33, Jesus rebuked Peter. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus was telling Peter that he was setting his mind. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Why? Because we are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. Part of discipleship, Paul is telling the Colossians, is deciding where our minds will go or won't go. I want to tell you this morning, each of us in here make choices where our mind is going to go or not go. And we make those conscious decisions several times a day. Many times a day we make decisions because temptation will come. Temptation will come. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to think about? Somebody has Philippians 4:8.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
That's about 7 or 8 items there. So if you use that as a blueprint, as a template for your language, for your thought processes, you'll be surprised how that will control your mind, your thoughts, and what you say. If you have been if you have temptation thoughts, you need to retrain your mind. You need to decide in advance how you're going to think with your mind and with your heart. You're going to have to decide what you're going to do. Why should we control our thoughts and keep that focus on the godly channel? Why? Because as Christians, and those who are going to become Christians, we need to make sure we have the right channel. Just like when you're watching TV, or listening to a radio station, or whatever else. Getting to your phones, you got to be on the right channel if you want to get the certain things. And we need to have conscious decisions to make sure that we are on the right godly channels. For you are dead. The word mortify here is to put to death. Put to death. Put to death. Because your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, will appear, then you also shall appear with him in glory. What does it mean to be dead? There's a new birth has taken place in Christ. And this is symbolized through baptism. We were buried with Christ and raised with him in baptism. There's a spiritual change takes place in our lives. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me and you. The life I live in the body, I live by faith. I live by faith, and that could be the rest of the whole message. But we're not working on that today. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And he died just for who? Just for us? Just for you? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why set our minds on things of God? Because the old life is dead. How have you been doing? Those of you who have been Christians for many, 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 many years, how are you doing at that? Do we have problems sometimes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We live here in this earth, and we're pretty earthly. But as a Christian, we have given our life, we are dead to the old body because our old life is dead. The new life is found in Christ only. Hidden talks about the word in Greek is cryptic, where we get our word for cryptographic, and to keep from being seen. What do we hear? We hear messages that are sent to places in government. They crypt them so that people can't decipher what they are and things. Now, my emails aren't crypt or anything. I don't have no problem with that. But cryptic, to keep from being seen or hide. It may not appear to others that your life is in Christ. However, it should. We're in a different realm with Christ. The hiddenness will finally be revealed when? When Christ returns. Because the word says that Jesus is going to come again. Jesus is going to come again. How many of you know that the Bible is trustworthy and true? You do. It's trustworthy and true. As we say in our language, you can take it to the bank. When we have our Chinese exchange student, some of the funny sayings that we have, she didn't understand what we were saying. What does that mean? Take it to the bank. You know, you got to explain what that means. You can depend on it. Philippians 3 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await salvation from there through Jesus Christ. We need to put to death the old practices, as was read for us, through 5 through 8 here. Mortify there your members. Mortify, put it to death. Woo! Put it to death, the old practices. Think about it. In our true identity is in new life in Christ and not in the old life. Think about a large chain that buys a store at another location, and maybe it's been another kind of a store, whatever. It may take them some years and months of planning to get all the signage, all the policies, change the culture within that place. If they keep the staff on, the policies the new corporation will eventually put in place and take on the new store brand. They'll get the branding there, the signs up and everything. They'll finally get it done because they're not going to live. They're not going to operate out of that building with the old name, will they? So we are dead in Christ. We are alive, dead in Christ. I said that wrong. Dead to Satan and his evil ways and our selfishness. But we're alive unto Christ. What is it about you? Yep. What should we set? Signage, take a brand. We need to put to death. Therefore, what belongs to the earthly nature is what needs to be put to death and what was read for us in these verses in 5 through 8. Mortify means to put to death. Make something die. Make something die. We have to do something. We have to do something about it. Put it to death. And there's verses in Romans and Galatians and Titus and Corinthians about that. The other words that we saw was to put off. Take off, literally like taking clothes off. We need to take it off. Move it. Get it away. Put off, take off. We need to rid, I think it talks about rid ourselves. We need to rid ourselves. Something we must initiate and carry out by the aid of the Holy Spirit. By the aid of the Holy Spirit. Can you do it on your own? I have a friend who's trying to stop that snuff habit. Always walking around has his snuff. Well, now he's thinking about slowing down and not do that because he's getting some sores in his mouth. But it's not as easy for him to stop that because that nicotine has got a hold, takes a hold, and controls. So we need to put to death. We need to put to death. Put off the sins of anger. I'm moving on now. We were just looking here at the ones we need to put to death. Put to death the sexual immorality and all kinds of sexual perversions. And then we move on to put off the sins of anger. The sins of the tongue. How many of you have a tongue here this morning? The tongue is a little mighty thing. And it can either say good things or it can see bad things. It can hurt, it can encourage. The sins that are listed here about putting off or of unrestrained anger is caused through our tongue. Why are they sins of the tongue so easy to slip into? Because we haven't taken Philippians 4:8 that Alice read and put it through the sifter of 4:8 and see what words should be said. It's easy. Don't lie. Paul teaches there's a problem that afflicts Christians far too often. A lie is to tell a falsehood. What makes lying wrong? Because we know that Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44. Our God, on the other hand, is a God of truth. Our faith in God is based on trusting Him completely. Trusting Him completely. And trust is another word we could spend more time on, but we're going to keep moving on here this morning. We know trust does what? Trust builds community. And I sit on the Effort of School Board, and we've had some sessions about trust, building trust among ourselves on the board, how we have to do that, and yeah. So we spend time on that. Trust builds community within the community. It builds trust in marriages. It builds trust in relationships. But lying undermines that. Lying undermines that in marriages. It tears apart relationships and it tears apart communities. But the new self, being renewed in these verses, talks about putting off and putting on the change that takes place internally. Internally in my heart and in your heart, in our spirit, in our character, which shows externally by putting off the old clothes, by putting off the old clothes of the world and putting the new clothes on of Christ. Scripture says we are being renewed. We are being made new again. The process of sanctification. It's a process. It's a process. 1 Corinthians 4:16, part B says, though the outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Day by day we're being renewed. Romans 12:2, part B there. Therefore, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Yeah, we need to cooperate in this process of renewal rather than be rebellious. And last night we got to see the play on Ruth at LBC. And Ruth, as she was going through her struggles, husband had died, her both sons had died, she was going through a lot of travail, and she was to the point that she wanted to give up on God. She wanted to give up on God. God wasn't looking favorably upon her. But Naomi, and then Ruth was the encouragement to Naomi, and the heart changed there and changed her life, changed her way. And I know what, God will do that for you and I also. We also need to be transformed with the mind, but there's a process that we need to cooperate in. We need to cooperate with renewal. We can be rebellious. We can either be cooperating with renewal or we can be rebellious. We see how God is working in us through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you know those fruits of the Spirit. Renewal involves the mind as we take hold and internalize God's truth through knowledge. And that's what this is. This is Bible. This is God's knowledge to us. How do you get it? God has given you eyes. He has given you a mind to read it, to digest it. And as cows do, ruminate on it, passing it through our minds time after time as we read it, continue to digest it, and use it in our lives. Let's look at it this way. The goal is far beyond ourselves. It is to restore God's image in us that has been marred through the fall of sin. What does Genesis 1:27 say? So God created man in his image. So the renewal process will get us closer back to what God wants us to be. We also see in this scripture a number of passages point to the final destiny to be found in our original perfect state. In the garden. How about an original painting? I was at Horst Auction and saw a painting get sold. And they were looking around on this thing as it was coming up for auction. They said, this is original. Some of the others, this is a reproduction. But this is original. What does original do? It makes it more valuable. It makes it more valuable because that may be the only one around. Original. So going back to talking about the garden, in the garden or in paradise. Excuse me. Question for you. What are you and I doing that enables the process of renewal in your heart and in my heart? What are you and I doing that hinders the process of renewal in your heart and in my heart? As we go on here, we see that in verse 11, we are one in Christ. One in Christ. It talks about the Greeks. It talks about the Jews. It talks about barbarians, the Scythians, bond or free. But Christ in all. Christ in all. We are one. We are one. We see that Christ unites both slave and free. There were common divisions in Paul's day. In fact, many Christians were slaves. But in Christ, we are one. No longer divided by race, religion, geographical origin, social status, gender. The church is special. The church is special. And as we move on, we see the part here in verse 12 through 17 talks about Christian virtues. Again, we are looking at putting on. Putting on. Put on because we are God's people. We are chosen people. We are the elect of God, being selected, being chosen. How many of you remember the time when you were at school and maybe you were getting ready to play baseball, have a ball game or something, and two people were picked out as captains, and then they started picking people. You. And you're still standing there. How does that make you feel? And especially if it happened over and over again. They look, they size you up. Well, you might be able to hit the ball. I want you on my team. Or you've seen the person in the past deal with a baseball. And you want them in your team. Yes. Chosen. Holy, dedicated to God, beloved, look at your status, being generally loved and cherished by the Creator of the universe, the Savior of mankind. And then these words that are going down through here talk about compassion. In this here it says about the bowels of mercy. Through the ancient world, it talks about the inward parts. It talks about the seat of our emotions. There's a display of concern over another's misfortune, pity, mercy, compassion, or translated into heartfelt compassion. Heart compassion, love, heartfelt compassion. Doesn't that really sound like an intimate kind of care and concern? Kindness, being helpful or beneficial. Goodness, generosity, humility, humbleness of mind, modest, a deep sense of one's moral littleness. Does any of you like to be second fiddle? And some people in our Chinese student wouldn't understand that. What does it mean to be second fiddle? Taking second place. Some of us do better at that than others. in this room. Some do better at taking second place. Gentleness, the quality of being overly impressed, not being overly impressed by a sense of one's importance. Patience, long-suffering, being able to bear up under provocation or forbearance, patience toward others. Forgiving each other, two quality characteristics that need to be in a healthy Christian community, a church, or a family. Forbearance or forgiveness, to bear with, forbearing, to regard with tolerance, endurance, bear with, to put up with the same, Ephesians 4:2. Forbearance doesn't necessarily require any forgiveness. It requires tolerance, patience, love, that we are all different. You and I have quirks, I have idiosyncrasies, can't even say the word right, that drive us each other crazy. Maybe I can talk to Joanne about that. But forgiveness, the ability to forgive, not just differences, but by the sins against us. If we long to be right, we will destroy community. Often to preserve the community, the marriage, the family, we must forgive sins, refuse to hold them against a person any longer, better known as grudges. The idea of putting on, the metaphor of putting on a garment, clothe yourself with love. And if that love is an outer garment, it is the first thing that's coming off. The outer garment of love. Think about that. And in verse 15, it talks about peace and thankfulness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace. And it's referred to twice. Originally, it refers to a referee or an umpire who gives a prize. And I was at a basketball game this past week of our grandson, and some of the decisions that coach was, the referee was making, weren't suiting the umpire. I mean, weren't suiting the coach. But there's differences. But be in control, a decision, or by making a judge control. Peace is a standard of keeping unity within the body. You know, we are all different members of the body, but we are members of the same body, and we should not war with ourselves. God calls you and I to what? Calls us to peace. Calls us to peace. And thankfulness. And thankfulness comes from the word eurisko, where we get the word Eucharist from, which is for the Lord's Supper. And at the end here, we see teaching and exhorting and singing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing. Think about that. That's so important for us to dwell. What are we dwelling on? We need to fill our hearts and our minds with those things that are important, as well as singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the last part here talks about advice for domestic life. The last 9 verses here are, the verses that are here are no means the comprehensive view of this whole household relationship. But Paul has a way of hitting hot-button issues that we need help with. And some have said that when God hits these buttons in us, we sometimes get hot too, because we don't like to be chastened. We see this type of brief counsel to people in various other scriptures in Ephesians, Colossians, and Peter. Wives, submitting to your husbands. Husbands, loving your wives, having their interest in mind. And children, obey your parents in all things that is well-pleasing to the Lord. And I think that we see then fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. And it goes on to servants, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive rewards of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Let's pray. Father God, Colossians has a lot of practical things for living life in 2020. Father, help us through the Holy Spirit to be obedient followers and not pushing back against the wall, the things that you have for us, but help us to be open to your Spirit's leading. May our lives put off, put to death those things that will help us to be more and more like you in the image of Christ. Thank you, Father, for the family relationship, and especially as we had dedication for these children this morning, we thank you for your love to us as your children. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's sing Jesus Loves Me.